From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we have a full studio today with a couple of wonderful students who are one of the winners of the Diocesan Speech Contest for 7th and 8th graders, the 2018-19. This year's topic, The Virtue of Honesty. We're joined by Charles Sander from St. John Vianney, the Tigers. Good to have you with us, Charles. Pull that microphone pretty close there. There you go. Good to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about what grade are you in?
I'm in 8th grade.
Very good. Very good. And also Savvy Castillo. Savvy, good morning.
Morning.
Good to have you with us. She's from Holy Spirit. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm in 8th grade at Holy Spirit.
Come on, there's more. Are you a basketball player, volleyball player?
I play soccer and basketball.
Soccer and basketball?
Yeah.
Are you in the middle of basketball season now?
Yeah, we just started.
Yeah? Are you a point guard?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So you can dribble and pass and
yell
at people?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much the job of point guard, that's for sure. Well, tell us a little bit, Charles, about this essay contest. Is this one of those things that you say, oh, man, I got to do this, or pull it a little closer there?
Well, when I first heard about it, I thought it was just a lot of work. But when I read the topic, I thought it sounded pretty fun. So I started working a lot on it. So a lot of hours, but it was fun.
So the topic, the virtue of honesty, you were asked to be prepared to speak on St. Augustine's quote about the virtue of honesty. The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose. It will defend itself. Did you know much about St. Augustine?
Not much, but I read a lot about him.
Do you know there's a city in Florida and they pronounce it St. Augustine? Oldest city in the United States. Presumably named after him. So, when you read those words, what were you thinking?
Well, it was a kind of difficult quote, so in my mind the words kind of turned around a bit. So I first thought that if I told the truth, in the quote it said the truth will defend itself. Mm-hmm. I thought that when I told the truth, I wouldn't have to do anything else. So I wrote about that a lot. But then I just wrote it. I rewrote it a lot, too. So,
well, we hear in our own faith, and we hear it just out in the secular world, the truth will set you free. And it's something that's proven true over and over and over again. And ultimately, the truth always wills out anyway. So it's not telling the truth is not very helpful. Savvy, tell us when you saw this quote, the truth is like a lion, you don't have to defend it, let it loose, it will defend itself. What were you thinking?
Well, when I was first writing the topic, it was kind of hard for me to fully understand what it was saying. And then once I started digging deeper and writing more, it became easier to not only live out, but write about.
Mm-hmm. So what did it mean to you, the truth is like a lion?
You don't have to, when you lie, you have to make up, you have to back it up with another lie and then another lie. But then when you tell the truth, you don't have to back it up with anything because it's just out there.
Yeah, I have a friend who used to tell me, he says, I never lie, but if you ask him, were you somewhere on Tuesday at something, and he didn't want to tell you, he'd say, what makes you think that? He didn't lie, but it's the same effect because it's misleading you. And the church is really, I don't know, strict is the right word, but the church is very, very definitive about telling the truth, always telling the truth. No matter why you're lying, you know, even if you think it's a good purpose, you know, that two wrongs don't make a right. So, Charles, you were the first place winner. What, did you get a new car, a trip to Disneyland? What'd you get?
A trophy. That was just kind of enough for me.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us a little bit about St. John Vianney. Have you been here since kindergarten?
Yeah, or? I've been at St. John Vianney since kindergarten. I just really like the environment at the school. All the teachers are really supportive. All the students, too.
Yeah. So you're going to go on to high school?
Yeah, I'm planning to attend Jesuit High School.
Wow. Are they planning on having you attend?
I hope so.
Very good. Very good. Tell us about your extracurricular activities. What do you like to do?
Okay, I play soccer, basketball, volleyball, track, cross country, and I do a little bit of football. I'm also a second degree black belt instructor. My dad's the academic decathlon coach, so I do that. And I'm also the student council president at my school.
Wow. So do you plan to go out for any sports at Jesuit?
I think I'm going to try rugby because it's like soccer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesuit has a fabulous rugby team.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of world renowned. So have you got a college picked out?
Not yet.
Savvy, what about you? Savvy, is that your given name or is that an abbreviation?
My nickname.
What's your given name?
Savannah.
Oh, good. Both of them are beautiful.
Thank
so
you.
Tell us about your extracurricular besides sports. What else do you do?
I'm on student council. That's pretty much it.
and have you been at Holy Spirit the whole time?
Yeah, since kindergarten.
You're a lifer. Yeah. Where are you going to go to high school?
Probably Christian Brothers.
Okay, very good. And you've got a college picked out?
No.
No. Do you even think about college?
Here and there, but not really.
I have an eighth grader, and he's into doing magic tricks. So, I think Stanford gives scholarships on magic tricks, but I'm not sure, or maybe Notre Dame does. So, as I understand it, you guys brought your essays with you, and your speeches. They're not. So, when you describe the scene where you have to give your speech.
So there's a large room, there's a microphone, and in front of you there was a table of like five judges, and then behind them there were bleachers with a bunch of parents, so it was pretty scary.
The parents holding up signs saying, don't be nervous. Yeah. Stop biting your nails. Yeah. Were you nervous?
Yes, very.
I'd be terrified. But so how do you overcome that?
You just kind of think of everybody like they're your friend.
Mm-hmm. Do you read the speech or do you just kind of refer to it?
I memorized it. Some people had note cards, but I think you memorized it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Wow, that's amazing. Can you memorize New York phone book?
No.
That used to be the great trick. So, Savvy, tell us how you felt when... How many people were out there in the audience?
A lot.
Was it on live television?
No, thank goodness.
So were you nervous?
Yeah, I was really nervous. Once I gave it the first time, because you gave it two times, and then if you made it to the finalists, you gave it a third time. And the first time I was a lot more nervous than I was the second time, because I did it last year. But it's nerve-wracking going in at the beginning because you don't really know how people are going to react.
And there's a little bit of difference, too, between, like, if it was an essay contest, how you might write it, and it's a speech contest because we frequently speak differently than the way we write. So did you keep that in mind when you're putting it together as to, I'm going to be standing up presenting this? Did that enter your mind?
So I typed some words in italics, and I even wrote pause.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you say, stop here for laughter to die down? Or? Yeah. So was there a moderator, somebody there with a big hook to just pull you off if you started stumbling on your words?
No.
No. Who wants to be... one of my daughters and I got our flu shots the other day, and the guy says, who wants to be first? So, who wants to be first?
I'll go first.
All right. So, this is Charles Sanders, St. John Vianney School, grade 8, first place winner. Go ahead. And what's the title? Is there a title?
No.
No title. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
It was the season of student council elections at my school. Candidates were hanging up posters, making speeches, and passing out campaign stickers. Tensions were running high. During the heat of this campaign, one student accused a candidate of defacing an opponent's poster with stickers from his own campaign. Teachers asked the accused candidate about the accusation, and he simply told the teachers that he didn't deface anyone's poster. St. Augustine wrote much about the virtue of honesty. He said, "The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose. It will defend itself." Why is the truth like a lion? If you saw a lion, would you fear it? Yes, because it is powerful. What about the truth? It's powerful too. You cannot disprove it because it is the truth. Reality, facts, and evidence will always support the truth. Lies, on the other hand, are weak. They are fragile and not well supported by facts. They crumble under serious scrutiny, and they are often very illogical. In contrast, as we seek the truth, we find more evidence and more facts. The truth is always revealed when we really look for it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 states, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place." This quote tells us that the truth is indeed strong and righteous. It can defend itself. Now let's see how St. Augustine's quote is applied to the story. The accuser said, "I didn't see him do it, but there is evidence. His campaign stickers were put on his opponent's poster." Now the truth is being put to the test. How does it defend itself? During the campaign, the accused candidate gave out hundreds of stickers to nearly everyone at the school. Should he really be blamed for defacing his opponent's poster with the stickers? The fact is, any student with a campaign sticker could have done it. The accused candidate would have also taken a giant risk in defacing his opponent's poster. He could have been disqualified. This shows that lies are often unrealistic and unlikely. Another way the truth defends itself. Maybe the accuser wasn't thinking clearly, or maybe he just didn't want that candidate to win. Nevertheless, it was a weak lie. In the end, the teachers decided that the candidate was innocent and that he did not deface his opponent's poster. I know the teachers made the right decision because I am that accused candidate. St. Augustine was right. Honesty is indeed a virtue. The truth was like a lion. It defended itself and won in the end.
Wow. That was a surprise ending there.
Yeah.
You were the accused candidate. Wow. Okay, we're going to turn the mics off. Tell me the truth now. that's a great line about that you can't unprove the truth. The truth is out there. But the one of the reasons I think that we're commanded to not bear false witness against our neighbor is that some of it sticks. They always say if you throw mud, some of it sticks, you know, and somebody gets accused of something, especially publicly, whether it's a candidate or just your neighbor, even if it gets disproven, people sometimes have that, oh, that was that person that was accused of theft or whatever. And I think that's one of the reasons is because that we're commanded not to ever do that, is it to always tell the truth, is because it's so harmful to somebody's reputation. That's excellent, Charles. I'm not surprised you won. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Savvy Castillo's. We're giving her a minute or two to get real nervous. So we'll be right back. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916 916- 972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thanks for all you have done and continue to do here in the Sacramento area. We are talking with the winners of the 2018-19 Annual Diocesan Speech Contest for 7th and 8th graders. And now we'll hear from Savvy Castillo from Holy Spirit, also an 8th grader. Savvy, does your essay have your speech? It's not an essay contest, it's a speech contest. And there's a huge difference. We were just talking off air that, you know, it's really a performance. And do you consider that? When you're writing, sometimes it's hard to put the emphasis where you want it. Whereas in a speech contest, you've got to really, did you take that all into consideration as you're writing the thing?
Yeah, because when I was writing it, I didn't really know where to put emphasis. But as you memorize it, it comes easier to speak and put emphasis and pause in.
Very good. Savvy, go ahead.
Truth. A powerful word. One that should be so easy to understand. But in reality, truth can be difficult. Truth can be complicated. Truth can be inconvenient. Especially for people our age, with the constant pressure of social media, or even age-old peer pressure. The desire, the need to be liked, shared, followed, tagged, retweeted. The truth about truth? Truth can be downright impossible. After all, what's the harm in a little white lie, right? What's the big deal if my social media profile says I'm 5'6"? Well, other than the obvious fact that I'm not. But that's exactly my point. Truth isn't something you could turn on or off. Truth must be constant, because as soon as we slip away from always being truthful, we set ourselves on a slippery slope. All around us today, truth is under attack. The fine line between truth and lies is being constantly blurred, replaced by everything from fake news and politics to untruthful posts all over social media. How are young people like us supposed to react when we're surrounded by adults who have lost sight of the importance of truth? It's not easy, but we can start by being truthful. Of course, it could be a small truth. I'm 4'11", no escaping it. And it could be big truths. I'm Catholic, and while it may not be popular, I will always be truthful about my faith. True to my church, and true to the person God made me. I will be truthful, even when the truth can have negative consequences. I forgot to do my homework. The dog did not eat it. I simply forgot. I may receive an F, but I will tell the truth. I've learned that I cannot always control what others do or say, but I can control my own actions and words, and I can and do choose to always be truthful. In the end, being truthful means being true to yourself. And that matters, because as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Free to be yourself, free to be the lion or the lamb, free to be the person God intended you to be. So yes, telling the truth is hard. It is a lion. You cannot tame it. Let it loose. It will not only defend itself, it will defend you.
Wow. I can hear the applause. That is fabulous. So, am I the smartest guy you've ever met?
One of them.
Oh, what a clever answer.
Jeez.
Wow. Are you a student or a teacher?
Student.
Oh, okay. So what's your favorite subject?
Math.
No. You're crazy. Really?
Yeah.
Really? What do you like about math?
Well, there's always an answer to the question.
That's true. I mean, math is all about truth.
Yeah.
There's only one right answer. So in eighth grade, what sort of math are you taking? Are you in calculus or something?
Algebra.
Algebra. 2x equals 4. What's x equal? That's as far as I got.
Two.
Good, good. What about you, Charles?
Well, my favorite subject is science, and science is all about the truth, too. So.
No, it is. And, you know, you hear people all the time, you know, kind of attack religion or specifically the Catholic faith and say that we're just, you know, a bunch of believers who just believe stuff that we're told, and science is over here finding the truth when in fact both are seekers of the truth. And science, one day science is going to discover that, by golly, there's a God, and he made the universe, and that Jesus Christ is really Lord and Savior. It's all going to come together, because they're both really seeking the truth. I've never met a scientist that didn't seek the truth. I mean, they really are. I mean, I don't think they're trying to prove false stuff. Sometimes they go off on the wrong direction, or they think something's the truth and it's not. But every scientist I've ever met. So what science specifically?
We're doing chemistry this year.
And what have you thought about it as in terms of what you might do with it?
Well, my favorite type of science is biology. We did that in seventh grade.
Yeah. What about you, Savvy? Are you going to be a math genius?
No, probably not. But math is also like something you use in the real world. And I want to be an oncology nurse.
Wow.
Yeah.
From math to oncology nurse. Wow. So like an RN. Wow. That's pretty impressive. My mom was an RN. So I have three sisters who are RNs. So we got RNs in the family. I don't even know what it stands for, but well, this is fabulous. So I promised to keep you till noon, so you didn't have to go back to school. But I can tell you guys really kind of liked going to school. Is that right? No.
It's debatable.
Debatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Charles?
I love school.
Really?
Yeah.
So when summer's over and it's going to be the first day of school, you're actually, see, I always felt like, oh, I wasted the summer. It's not coming back. But you actually look forward to
Yeah, I look forward to the first day of school.
What about you, Savvy? You're looking forward to Christmas vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the first day of school, but then after that, it's like the same thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very good. Charles, thanks so much for coming in. Savvy, thanks for...
Thank you.
For coming in. Lori Power, thank you for bringing it. You want to tell us just a little bit about this?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, sure.
So this is our annual speech contest, and I know we've had our finalists on before with
yes.
Bob.
And we're going to have some more on.
We are. Tomorrow we're having three. We're having our second, third, and fifth place winners tomorrow. So your listening audience will be able to hear three more wonderful speeches by these incredible kids.
Great.
Every year, the Toastmasters generously volunteer their time to judge the event, which is wonderful. We couldn't do it without them.
Yeah.
So, you know, hats off to them. And it's just amazing. And I always tell the kids that I had nowhere near this kind of confidence or courage or poise when I was 13 years old. I mean, I would be hiding behind a rock. So,
I put a bag over my head when I went to school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So to see them give their speeches, and they do it with such passion and conviction. And I always feel really good when I leave that day thinking our world is okay because we have kids like this coming up. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very encouraging. Yeah. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having them, Bob.
And thanks to Mom and Dad here who raised some great kids, obviously. So, Charles, thank you. Savvy, thank you. And back to school. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Good morning. This is Sister Maria, and I'm the Formation Director for the Seminarians, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sister Maria. Thanks for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento for vocations and here in person, live and in person.
Yes.
Jennifer Campbell joins us. Jennifer, always good to see you.
It's good to see you too, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You've made it down the hill, up the hill. Is that what you say as you head to Trinity Pines in beautiful Colfax?
I do, actually. And it's not even that far up the hill. But yes, I refer to it as going down up the hill or down the hill. So
you know, it's funny. Every time I run into somebody from Colfax, you know they're from Colfax. There's a lot of pride in that town.
There is.
There really is. There's something about these small towns in the foothills. There's this esprit de corps.
Yes.
They're very proud of
their specific town. Yes,
yeah,
they are.
Yeah. I love Colfax.
It's a beautiful little town. So yeah. It's great that we've opened a retreat center there. And someday we'll be moving our camp there. It'll be lovely.
Yeah.
So
St. Dominic's?
St. Dominic's is the parish. Yep, that is correct.
Yeah.
It is a cute little parish right downtown.
Yep.
So
yeah, no, I mean, not a lot of people in Colfax.
Not a large city, no.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think it even qualifies as a city, a town.
No, I think it's a town. That's what I would call it, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
It has a historic area, but it's like...
Exactly. And the nights are getting chilly up there in Colfax.
Yes, days are too.
the days are too, that's right.
It is
well, especially with all the... You know, it's funny, in the summer, because it gets to be summer up there. It can get to 100 and all those beautiful trees. It kind of keeps it a little bit cooler. And then in the winter, even on a clear day, you go, wow, okay, chop down that big tree because it's blocking the sun.
Can the sun just last a little longer?
Yeah.
It'd be great. No, it does get a little chilly up there, but it's like a crisp air. It's nice.
It's crisp. It's nice. It's clear and
clean. It's clear and clean right now. Yeah. I mean, we did get a little of the smoke that came over from the campfire, but other than that, we're good.
Yeah.
It's good. So
you have a lot of things happening up there. I mean,
yes.
You know, when I first heard that the diocese was purchasing. How long ago was that? 4 or 5 years ago?
Yes, for 5, almost 6 maybe.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, that'd be nice. One day they can have Camp Pendola over there.
It's getting closer than it was last year. So
did you really anticipate all the events that would be taking place there? Was this kind of part of the master plan?
I mean, yes and no. I was I struggled to see him, but I knew that we would be doing him. I knew that we would someday move in that direction of having where we're hosting retreats up there. Our Newman Centers host retreats there currently. And so, yeah, we're just trying to get as many, honestly, like, I just want to get as many people up there to see that we have this place.
Right.
I just always think of when I'm talking to people about Camp Pendola, which has been around, we are going to be start this summer will be our 59th summer.
Wow.
And we are such a large diocese and so many people have never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that to ever be the case of Trinity Pines. Like,
yeah.
I never want to go to a school or to a, into a parish and people have not heard of it. That's one of my personal like goals. So,
yeah.
Because I think, you know, Camp Pendola is a gem that we have. This program is a perfect program for us. And then it's been around for 59 years and there are still people who are like, not new to the diocese, but it's like completely like, what are you talking about? We have a camp.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't want people to say, what are you talking about? We have
it's
a retreat center.
One of the older camps, certainly in the West. I know the East Coast started some a long time ago, but
it is one of the older ones. I don't know. I know we're not the oldest, but we're, for Catholic camps, we're up there in age.
Do most dioceses have a camp?
For a while, yeah, they did, but not right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Archdiocese of Seattle still owns and operates their camps. They have two now. And then there's in the Midwest, there's a couple. Mm-hmm. But no, not most. A lot of times it's private organizations that work alongside with, mm-hmm. you know, with their bishop.
Some of them a camp that would actually be not within the diocese?
Yeah, that's true too. So like the Pines, which is probably the most famous Catholic camp in the country. It's one of the largest ones. It's in Texas and it operates out in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Their office is in Dallas. So the Diocese of Dallas. So they work with as many dioceses as they can in Texas, which has, I don't want to say how many because it's a lot of dioceses.
Probably 7 or 8 at least, I would think.
It might be 15.
It could be.
It's big.
California 12, I think. Something like that.
Yes,
yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah,
so yeah, Texas is going to be close.
It's close. So they work with their diocese, and so it is rare to have a camp and a retreat center that the diocese owns.
Maybe we should have a football game between all the dioceses in California and all the dioceses. You know, each diocese gets to put up one player.
That could be fun.
California against Texas, the challenge.
Oh gosh.
Or maybe a basketball because we have the
basketball
and soccer.
Soccer
we
would be good.
That.
I mean,
yeah,
we could call it football and just confuse people.
That would be real interesting. We do these intramural kind of things within the diocese with the Collar Cup. The soccer has become very well known,
and there's no reason.
Sacramento Classic basketball. Oh my goodness, the priests against the seminarians, but it's all within the diocese,
right?
I mean, 3 years in a row now, or is it 4? I can't remember. At Christian Brothers, it's just packed.
It's packed.
They need to move into Golden One. You know, I mean, it's really packed.
It is. I love that game.
It would be really fun. I think have the Archdiocese of Seattle against Sacramento.
It could be really entertaining. Oh, yeah. For sure. That could be really fun because people really do. It's, you know, they take ownership of their diocese and
they do.
And really, and I think that's so important. And I, as a, I would think as a priest, that would be so important. I mean, I'm not one, so I wouldn't know for exactly, but like to just really have ownership and really be excited about your specific diocese, I think is so special. So yeah, no, that could be a lot of fun, but that's, you know,
I'll put that on my list.
Your
to-do list. Yeah.
My to-do list, that keeps getting longer every time I come on the radio and talk to Bob.
Yeah.
but yeah, we do have, so this year we do have a lot going on. I'm trying to do one retreat a month that we're hosting as opposed to the rest of the time. Where it's rentals for different parishes. So we've got
with those, you just provide the facility, or
did when it's a rental, yes, they bring their own cooks, they bring everything, mm-hmm. And we just provide the facility for them. We provide, you know, we have altar linens and things like that, but and a chapel, and we'll provide the hosts and wine and all the stuff right. they need for Mass. Right. But yeah, they bring everything in and decorate and however they see fit. And then they get the dorms and whatever they're going to use.
You don't have a resident chaplain.
We do not have a resident chaplain. Right. That's on my list of dreams.
I think you'd have about 15 people. I'll be the chaplain.
Well, you know, it'd be good. I mean, even like just one of the retired priests to if we were able to build a residence there for them, that would be great to have somebody on site. I think a lot of our groups would appreciate it because it is hard to pull your priest from your parish to come up and do a retreat with you because they have responsibilities at the parish. Sure. And
well, you hear that every year with, mm-hmm. with things like the Chrism Mass, you know, and where most of the priests come, but it's like it's hard.
It's hard,
especially with as big as this diocese is.
It's a balancing act. It really is. It's just a balancing act. So,
the bishop usually makes it to Camp Pendola.
He does. Summer. He comes up for one Mass every summer. I have to send him the dates for this year so he can get that on his calendar. But yeah, he'll be up there for one. He does come up and do help with like sometimes with the Masses for retreats, mm-hmm. Especially with the Newman Centers. Right. You know. Getting on his calendar, you know.
how long will is the Camp Pendola moving from Trinity Pines? Is that just kind of one of those things? We'll remodel the kitchen, is there an actual date planned?
There's not an actual like firm. This is a date for absolutely positive, but yes, the plan right now, and we did actually start construction up there. So we've done our grading, which is step one of 50. is that so grading all of the new pathways to the cabins and kind of laying out where they're going to be. The thing that we're building, which would then allow us to move camp, is our dining hall. And it's going to be a brand new dining hall that seats 200.
Wow.
And or a little
is that
bit
a
more.
Normal size for camp?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the dining hall we currently have at Pendola, I think, seats between 80 and 100. Uh-huh. So this will be a little bigger, which will be nice. But it'll be good for hosting like one day retreats and bigger groups.
Right.
And then we're building 20 cabins. Each cabin holds 10 mm-hmm. or so.
Similar in plan to the cabins you have at Pendola?
They are similar. Yes and no. They're fully enclosed cabins. So right now currently at Pendola, we have open air cabins.
Right.
These will be fully enclosed cabins. So they could be used year round. All of them will, so they can all be used year round. And then they're going to be on the ridge of the top of our property. So they'll all have a really nice view mm-hmm. and windows and to be able to see that view. And then they're in, quads. So there's four cabins that are kind of in a little village together with a bathhouse. So as opposed to right now at Pendola, we have 12 cabins up a hill. You come down the hill
down the hill in the middle of the night
to use the restroom. They'll be in little quads. So it'll be easier to get to move those around and all that fun stuff.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
We're very excited. I'm very excited to actually see the cabins and walk into like the new cabin at Trinity Pines. It'll be very cool to just like get that experience. I'm like, it's the one thing I'm just like, can't wait to see.
So it won't be this summer though, probably.
It will not be this summer, no. Yeah. It will. I can say for certain it will not be this summer, but after that, I can't say for certain when it would be.
So you transfer over to Camptonville
Camp Pendola.
Camp Pendola in the summer.
In the summer there.
Mm-hmm. And then do we still operate Trinity Pines in the summer? Or
we do. We use it for rentals the same mm-hmm. way. We don't get as many, but we do have rentals then too. And then, but like I don't offer any programming there in the summer because, I can't bilocate.
You can't?
No.
You should read up on Padre Pio.
I was thinking about it. Hopefully there'd be like a lesson guide in a book about him. Yeah. Maybe he left
how
that for
it.
Us, how to do it.
The bishop knows how to bilocate.
I
know I have emceed events where I've introduced the bishop, and then the next day I'll pick up the paper and see that he was someplace else. And I go, no, that can't be. He was here.
Exactly. Oh, for sure. You know. It's all about timing.
Yeah.
We get it work. So, but yeah, we're just trying to, you know, we'll, the summer I'm up there and then the rest of the time I'm in Colfax. So, as we slowly transition, but we're trying to do right now just a retreat or something a month, different activities. So we have something coming up in December where it's going to be the second year we've done it, the youth leadership retreat, which I've talked to you about before. Right. So that's going to be like over a winter break in between Christmas and New Year's.
What's the date of that?
It is, I believe December 27th through the 29th,
mm-hmm.
Which is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have teens from around the diocese, different parishes. They'll come up for those 3 days. We'll do, it's basic leadership skills, how to talk to your pastor, which is so sometimes intimidating for a young person.
Sure.
How to lead an activity, how to create prayer experiences. We'll have time for mass together and adoration together. And we'll be modeling some of those skills we want them to have in within the retreat. And we'll have lots of food to feed them, of course, because, you know, kids are hungry and I don't believe in hungry teenagers.
Yeah.
It's a thing I don't like to see.
They are always hungry. I have four teenagers and they are
always hungry.
I mean, going to the grocery store three times a day.
Yeah. You just got to push the food towards them and back away.
Who ate those Oreos? I just bought.
Yeah, you know. Where that? Oh, okay, never mind. I guess.
All you see is the empty wrapper in the
exactly.
garbage. Exactly. Or more likely on the kitchen counter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm just going to.
Sometimes on the floor.
If you're lucky, it's in the trash. Yeah. But not the teens that come to the youth leadership retreat. They would all throw their garbage away every time.
Yes, of course.
So that'll be really, it's a really fun retreat. And it's something to do over winter break. If you're a teenager who's just going to be home. And, you know, not doing anything. Here's something to do. Wait, you know, get away for a few days. It probably will not snow, but it will be cold.
Yeah.
And so that's also
it can snow.
It could snow, but I don't. Yeah. I mean, it could. It's possible. But the other thing it's one of the reasons I love camp, going up to camp in the summer and being at Trinity Pines is you can see all of the stars. So
yeah.
That's all.
Everybody says that too. You know,
that's
you
like my favorite, like. In the summer, I can, and even in this winter camp when we did it last year, like, because just walking to the dorms, I'd always walk extra slow because I was like, you mm-hmm. can see all of the stars.
Yeah, it's, I remember the first time when my kids were kind of old enough to pay attention to all that and being up in the Sierra and camping and looking up and going, I didn't know there were that many. It was just like, you know, there's so much what they call light pollution in cities that, and it's not really pollution, it's just more lights that keeps you from seeing the stars. I mean, you get a crisp night in the Sierra and wow.
Yeah, you just, all the stars come out. And it's just, it's so mad, it's magical. And it's like, I mean, I struggle to, like, people who say they don't believe in God, I'm like, just come up here.
Oh, I know.
I mean, just look at this. Like, So.
We should make a list of the things. I always use the redwood trees as an example, you know, because they're so magnificent.
And right.
I always tell my kids, it was a seed. Nobody watered it. Nobody planted it. Nobody made sure it had 4 inches of soil over
it. Exactly.
Nobody fertilized it. Nobody did anything. If animals came and gnawed at nothing, it just all happened.
Happened.
Here's this thing, and it's 365 feet tall. You know,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. It's one of those moments where you're just like, "Yep, that's where he is. He's
those
right
stars,
there."
Stars.
There. Yeah, it's peaceful. Stars are just looking up at the stars are so peaceful. And we this summer were blessed with Deacon Dean, who is just as into astronomy.
He should be doing stand up.
He's going to be a priest soon, so he'll have a homily. There it is, right there.
There it is.
But his love for astronomy
as a priest.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we should we should sell tickets.
And he's done. I mean, he did a few over the summer as the deacon, but it'll be different as a priest, I think.
Yeah, he's.
But his love for astronomy, like, it just brought it alive for all of the kids. And he would do special, like, with just one cabin at a time, astronomy lessons over the summer. So it was quite amazing. And then, but for him, and to hear him talk about it, which is such a scientific thing, but and talk about the love of God within that is so, it's so powerful. So,
yeah, you know, it's interesting. I usually go to the annual Vocations Dinner.
Yes.
And they move it around the diocese, right. which is really wonderful. It was in Placerville last, it's usually May or June.
I think it's in May, yeah.
Yeah. And they had it in Vallejo one time, and they had it at Our Lady of Grace in West Sacramento. Mm-hmm. But they move it around, which is great. But as part of it, there's all, you know, all the seminarians are there, or
right.
most of them are there. And they each get like about 30 seconds at the microphone just to say who they are and
right, where they're from.
And I'll tell you, if you ever had worries about the future of the church, they would dissipate.
Right.
It's like, wow. I remember I take one of my teenage daughters with me, and they just come away and say, those guys are just so impressive.
Right.
You know?
They really shine at that dinner. I mean, you can see their personalities come out for yeah. sure. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a good experience. So
indeed. So what else do you have that first off, how can people sign up?
They can sign up by going to our website, which is TrinityPinesCatholic.org, and they'll see the registration for that, for the youth leadership retreat. So please do that. You'll also see some of the other activities that we have coming up, including in end of March, we have Echoes of Worth, which I believe Andrew Brown, who's the executive director, was on last week. Yeah. So that we've got some signups coming in, but we just opened registration, and it's to learn about theology of the body. It's a beautiful theology to teach young people and for them to really understand and what it is and why it is. Saint Pope John Paul II. I'm not exactly sure how we term that.
Say saint first, or
yeah, I know yeah. I get confused. Saint JP II. Yes. That's how I'm going to say it now. He spent so much of his life. It was on those Wednesday addresses mm-hmm. talking about this. So it was obviously he was moved by the Spirit for that alone. And I think learning about it and really taking in what it means. Mm-hmm. You know, for whole person care and understanding it is so important. So it's a great opportunity for young people to kind of get an introduction to it if they've never heard of it before. And so we'll have that weekend retreat. And it's really exciting that we're bringing something that was really successful in the San Jose right. diocese to the Sacramento diocese. So, you know, our young people are not having to drive as far right. to learn about this and experience this beautiful retreat. So
do you contact people like
Andrew,
like Andrew for Echoes of Worth, or do they contact you and say, "Do you have a facility? We want to bring this." How does that work?
With Andrew, it was we have met at multiple different events.
Yeah.
We actually worked on YOM together, the first YOM Youth on a Mission retreat or training, and so we had been talking about it for a couple years, and then he came up and toured the facility, and then. It's a good connection. It is a partnership between our diocese and their organization mm-hmm. to bring this retreat in. So I would say it's a both and. I mean, we've had other organizations contact us and we have contacted other organizations. We're trying to work with like NET team, the new evangelization team, the retreat groups to have, right. to do that, to have them come up. We're trying to just any kind of ideas were there to try to bring people in to the retreat
center.
Point
with some things maybe you haven't heard of them or mm-hmm. you have to put them in the filter machine, right?
Yeah.
And how does that work?
So kind of deciding what we're gonna move forward with
and like what program you want, but also you want to be sure that you're dealing with somebody
it's reputable and we want to deal with
and is
yeah
actually,
and someone that we want to work yeah. with and well I think part of it is just meeting with the people, getting to know them, to talking to their what about their organization, what it is their mission mm-hmm. is. We as a office, the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry, have put together our vision mm-hmm. for youth ministry. We're still in the process of it, but we've got four main kind of points,
right.
Touchstones that would need to hit. So, one of them is servant leadership. So for instance, like the youth leadership retreat, we're right. focusing in that on servant leadership. We're training and working with young people about how to be a leader.
Right.
We're also something else we want is to make sure that we're being relevant and that we're And so that's where something like Echoes of Worth comes in. Like that hits that touchstone.
Right.
Part of that retreat also is that they're going to be training young adults to be able to lead that retreat in our diocese, mm-hmm. so that we're not dependent on people from San Jose to come every year.
Right.
It'll still be a partnership with us and Echoes of Worth, but we'll have people in our diocese. So that's servant leadership, but also staying relevant.
Right.
So it's, you have to like look at something and then see, does it match up with our values and our goals that we have established for our department?
Right. Are the organizations always Catholics?
Generally.
Exclusively Catholic?
Yeah.
I
would say, that would be exclusively Catholic is who we'd be looking to work with, to partner with.
So what else do you have going on up there? I know you're going to have the, I'm calling it the virtual World Youth Day.
Because that's what it was called before. Yeah. We're calling it a stateside World Youth Day this year. So that's very exciting. We're going to have Vince Nims up, who's from, I believe he's in the Oakland Diocese. Mm-hmm. Bishop Soto will be there via Zoom or Skype.
Because he will be in Panama.
The youth choir from St. Clair's will be up. It'll just be a pretty... I don't know, like it's a low key chill day, but with lots of fun stuff happening.
So it's an overnight?
It is an overnight. It starts at 1 o'clock on Saturday,
January 26th.
And it's an overnight, and then it ends at 11 a.m. On the 27th. Yeah. So it's not quite 24 hours, but within that 24 hour time period, we'll have some workshops for youth and for the youth that are there and for the chaperones. We'll have a time where Bishop's going to call us. We will be watching the vigil with Pope Francis from Panama. We'll have mass during that time. We'll have some games. And we've got some knights coming to cook us some food. So we'll be providing dinner and breakfast the next day. So
and it's all $20?
$20.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculously cheap. It is ridiculously cheap. And that
you can't buy breakfast for $20.
No, you cannot.
And lodging.
and dinner. And we will make it work. Because the important thing is for young people to get up and have this experience, to get up to Journey Pines, have this experience. Our goal was not to make money on it. So
when you say young people, what are the age?
High school. So we're looking at high school teens. For this event, so we're focused on high school teens. And then chaperones, of course, will be there. Sure. So we'll have some experiences that are specifically for them. And for that, to get more information, I believe you go to our diocesan website.
Yeah, and you can go to scd.org/WYD, which is for World Youth Day.
And if you have questions about the event and need some more specific information, Richard Cervaney, who is the regional coordinator for youth and young adult ministry in the North State.
Right.
Bob was looking at me. I had to close my eyes to remember how to say all of that. But he's the regional coordinator for the North State, and he's the lead staff on that, on this, event. And so he will be able to answer any of your questions, but, scd.org,
and you'll be up there at World Trinity Pines, and it will probably be in the 20s.
It might be warmer.
You'll be watching the World Youth Day from Panama.
And it'll be in the
fanning themselves.
It'll be in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No,
and you're not used to World Youth Day in January.
No. And I really appreciate that Pope Francis did move it specifically because he picked the location.
Right.
But doing it in when we traditionally do it, it would be their rainy season.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting. In Rio, I think it was June, could have been July. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Southern Hemisphere, was. It was winter, except that Rio is not a cold winter place.
And it's not, I don't believe, because Panama is mostly rainforesty.
Yeah, it's one of those areas that doesn't have much in the way of seasons.
No.
Because it's right on the equator.
It's right on the equator. Yeah. And so I just know that it would have been their rainy season, and so it would have been apparently awful. So I appreciate that he was, observant of... the climate and how it works and if, winter and stuff. So
we've had a person on a couple of times to promote. This is back promoting the diocesan trip.
Yes.
To Panama. And she was from Panama.
Oh, wow.
And just listening to her, you just want to go. It's like, what a interesting, interesting country.
For sure. It's Panama. My dad was my grandfather was in the military, and they were stationed in Panama when my dad was in kindergarten. He still remembered. He still has stories.
Yeah.
Mostly about sloths coming into their house.
Oh, sloths! Really? Wow.
They'd get on the clotheslines in the houses on the base.
Oh, interesting.
And then you bring in your clothes, and oops, got to put my clothes back out.
Oh, sloth! That's just a word. No, it's a real animal.
It's a real animal, and apparently real mean.
You think of a sloth as an animal who used to be lying around in the hammock or something.
No, they're real mean, apparently.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful country.
Yes, my that's goodness. What I've been told.
And a very Catholic country.
Very Catholic, yeah.
And then they've got the canal, of course.
Right, that's correct.
Which, as I understand it, one of my sisters visited Panama recently and said that whole series of locks and all that stuff is just absolutely fascinating.
That's what I've heard. I've wanted. That's one of the places I'd love to go see.
I mean, not being an engineer or anything, I
can't imagine how it works.
I thank God that there are other people who understand how to do those things.
Me too.
You know, if I were, I mean, if it was left up to my, I mean, we'd all be living in tents. except that I wouldn't even know how to put the tent up. You know, we'd just be sleeping on the ground.
Well, you know, that's what we do at camp in
that's
the
what
summer.
You do at camp, so. Yeah, back to nature.
Luckily, I don't have to know how to set up a tent. I mean, I do, but I don't have to set one up because we sleep out under the stars.
My son is an eighth grader. I mean, since he was like four, mm-hmm. he could set up a tent. I mean, nobody taught him. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like, boom.
Some people are just good at those things.
Yeah.
So maybe you've got a future engineer right there.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Or can't make her one or the other.
One or the other. But we'll go with engineer.
So anything else you want to tell us about?
I think I've talked a lot. We've got some stuff coming up, but it'll be later in the year. And we are currently hiring for this next summer at camp.
Oh, for Camp Pendola.
I am. Yes.
So camp ends with your family camp.
It does in September.
September on Labor Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
Then do you immediately sit down with somebody, yourself, counselors, and say, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what did we do right, what did we do wrong?
Basically.
What happened to the scrambled eggs that morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
We pretty much do that right away. And then September is all into all of our diocesan events.
Uh-huh.
So I just don't think about it. And then by October, second week in October, is when we started meeting about next summer.
Wow.
So
you're already hiring what, counselors?
Hiring counselors and leadership positions. So we are looking for program directors and our program director, and counselors.
Will most of these people be college students?
They will need to be college students.
They need to be 18.
So college students are older. You know, if you're a teacher and you know don't
like
want
school teacher,
a school teacher, an elementary school teacher mm-hmm. or something, this is a great position for a summer.
Sure.
To come up and you get to camp with kids, which is a very different experience than working with them
in
a classroom.
How big's the commitment? From when to when? And
the commitment this year would be from June 9th through August 4th.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little shorter commitment this year.
And is it 7 days a week or do you get a day
it
off?
Get a day off. You get from noon on Saturday to noon on Sunday. And then this year, we are going to do something special during the 4th of July week. So most staff will be off that week as well, the whole week. They'll get the whole week off again. So it'll be a smaller program that week. So, so it's a pretty good job for the summer. So our base salary this year is $408 for a week.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Jennifer, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Bob.
Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They're at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, Marriage and Family Therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Sipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Sipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
To the cross I look.